This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بالله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد our brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, we act and we do things in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the basic fundamental conditions for the acceptance of deeds, that they are done with ikhlas. They are done with only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for no other reason. Now we have this beautiful story in Sahih Bukhari. And this is a true story. This is our aqidah about the hadith of Rasulullah, where when Nabi told us about people of the past and about the ghaib and so on, that we believe what the Prophet told us, because he always spoke the truth and he spoke from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Now narrated Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, that Rasulullah said that there were three people and they were traveling and they were overtaken by a thunderstorm. So rain started falling heavily, and at that time they were traveling and they saw, he said, they took shelter in a cave in a mountain, on the side of a mountain. Now as they were sitting in this cave waiting for the rain shower to end, there was a landslide and a big rock slid from the mountain over the mouth of the cave and blocked it. So now here are these three people and they are in pitch dark. They are inside this cave and the mouth of the cave is blocked with a huge rock. There is no way they can escape. They are looking at a very horrible way of dying. Very slowly, literally they were buried alive. Imagine what must be going through their minds, how terrified they must have been. But Alhamdulillah, people who are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they look to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. So they said to each other, think of such good and righteous deeds which you did only for the sake of Allah. Something which you did which was, inshallah, free from anything else, from free from riya, free from trying to please anybody else. You did this deed only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invoke Allah, giving the reference of that deed so that Allah may relieve us from our difficulty. Now this issue of wasila, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَ. Allah said, seek a wasila. Wasila is a means of getting close to somebody in power. Right? In the Middle East, for example, you want to go meet the king, or you want to go meet some minister or something, or the governor of a province, you look for a wasila. You look for somebody who can take you there, somebody who has a connection, somebody who can open a door for you. So wasila is a means. You are seeking a means to reach someone in power and authority. Now, of course, all power and authority belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, seek a wasila. Now, in Islam, we know from our aqidah that this wasila is not an individual, it's not a human being, or it's not some other agency. Our wasila, our best wasail, are our own actions. What did I do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone? What did I do only and only to please Allah? This is my wasila. So that is why it is very important for us to do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret. Do this good deed. Don't tell anybody about it. Let it be something purely between you and Allah. It's a very big mistake that many times people make, that even deeds which are, by definition, they are or should be secret. For example, tahajjud. Whether you are praying tahajjud or not, whether I am praying tahajjud or not, is something that is between me and Allah. It is not something that other people know or should know. If they happen to know by some means, that's fine, but at least I should not tell people that, you know, I pray tahajjud every night. But what do we do? Somebody tells you, please make dua for me. And you say, yes, inshallah, I will make dua today in tahajjud. Now, did he ask you whether you were praying tahajjud? No. He just said, make dua. Just say, yes, inshallah, khalas. Let your tahajjud be a secret between you and Allah. So similarly, keep some deeds, keep at least one. Something which you do only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nobody knows that except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now these three people are stuck in this cave. There is no hope of escape except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are saying to each other, because they are people who are connected with Allah, let us think of something that we did only for the sake of Allah, and let us make dua and recall this deed, refer to that deed and say, oh Allah, I did this only for you, and today I request you, please relieve me from this difficulty. So, one of them said, oh Allah, I had my parents who were very old, and I had small children for whose sake I used to work as a shepherd. Now my practice was that when I returned to them, when I returned home at night, I milked the sheep. I then used to begin by giving that milk first to my parents before giving it to my children. And one day, I went far away in search of a grazing place for my sheep, and I didn't return home until late at night, and I found that my parents had already slept. I milked my sheep as usual, and I brought the milk vessel, and I stood by the head of the bed of my parents, waiting for them to wake up to drink the milk. He said, my children were crying with hunger. I didn't like to keep them hungry, but I waited until my parents woke up or would wake up so that I could give the milk first to them and then give it to my children. But it so happened that they didn't wake up until the morning. So the children just went to sleep hungry. My parents were sleeping anyway, and they didn't wake up until dawn. Then the man said, oh Allah, if you considered what I had done only to seek your pleasure, then please let there be an opening through which we can see the sky. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an opening through which they could see the sky. Right? Now this is the first man and his story. Now sometimes when I read this hadith, I think to myself that even when we make du'as which are limited. You know, this man could have said, Ya Allah, remove the rock. And they could have all walked out, right? But, Wallah Alam, whatever was the thing, the man said, let us just see the sky. So they saw the sky. This is like one of my very, very, very dear friends who took his parents for Hajj. And during the Hajj, they got very sick. The parents got very sick. And my friend made dua. And he said, oh Allah, do not allow me to get sick until I reach home. Now may Allah have mercy on him, and may Allah have mercy on all of us. He could have said, Ya Allah, don't allow me to be sick. That was good enough. But he said, you know, this is our human tendency. He said, oh Allah, don't let me fall sick until we get home, because you know he has to take care of his parents. So he's saying, Ya Allah, I need to be healthy to take care of my parents. So don't let me fall sick until I reach home. And he tells me that literally, the plane landed in Hyderabad. He said, I stood up from my seat and I fell down. You know, I mean, that is how he got what he asked for. As soon as he reached home, back, he was sick. So anyway, in this particular case now, this man made his dua and he said, oh Allah, move the rock so that we can see the sky. And the rock moved a little bit. It's not big enough for them to get out, but they can just see the sky. Now, the second person, he said, oh Allah, I had this girl, cousin of mine, who I loved with as much passion as a man can love a woman. Now, this is, you know, he's talking about physical lust. So he said, I loved her. I really was very passionately. I used to love her. And then he said, and I tried to seduce her, but she refused. And she said, you know, if you want me to sleep with you, then give me 100 dinar, you know, gold coins. So he said, I worked very hard until I collected 100 dinar. And then I went to her with that. And then he said, when I sat between her legs to have intercourse with her, she said, Ya Abdullah, ittaqullah. He said, O slave of Allah, be afraid of Allah. Do not deflower me, do not have sex with me without marriage. Right? If you want to have sex with me, then marry me. Don't do it like this. So the man said, so I left her. And I left that money also with her. I didn't take the money also, I just left her. And then he says, O Allah, if you consider that I had done this only to please you, so please move the rock a little bit more. Yeah? SubhanAllah, may Allah enable us to make du'as which are powerful and which, you know, which solve our problems. But anyway, he said, move the rock, make the opening a little bit bigger. And Rasulullah said, the opening was made bigger. And then the third person, he made du'a and he said, O Allah, I employed this laborer, this man, for equal to a certain measure of rice, of farak, which is called farak. I employed him for his wages. And then he said, when he had finished the job, he demanded his wages. But when I presented the wages due to him, he refused to take it. Now, you know, why he did that, Allah knows best. He said, when I gave it to him, he refused to take it. And he went away. So the man says, what I did was, he said, I sowed that rice. I didn't use up that thing. I sowed that rice. And when I was sowing the rice, I said, this is for this man. And then these several cycles of that, he sowed the rice, you know, he harvested it. Then next time he sowed, now obviously much bigger area. And he said several times I did that. And then I also managed to acquire some cows and a shepherd with the price of that rice. Later on, the man came back to me. The laborer came to me. And he said to me, Ya Abdullah, he said, O slave of Allah, fear Allah and do not be unjust to me and give me my due. Right? You know, Ajib, people are in this world. When the man first was giving his due, this fellow refused and walked away. Now he comes back and he's demanding it and saying, give me my due, fear Allah, you know, don't be unjust to me. The poor man was not being unjust in the first place. But anyway, this is how people are. So he says, give me. So he said, this man said, I said to him, those cows and that shepherd, all of that belongs to take it and go. So he took them and went away. And this man said, O Allah, if you consider that I had done that seeking your pleasure, then please remove this rock, the remaining part of the rock, so that we are free and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala release them from their difficulty. And this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Now, my brothers and sisters, I remind myself anew that let us think about this hadith, this whole story. What is this telling us? The first and foremost thing that this story is telling us is the importance of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In all the three cases, you see there were issues of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and issues of obedience which are not just clearly haram and halal, except in the case of course the fornication, but beyond that also in terms of trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to do something which is more than what is required. Right, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, these people did that one by one. Second thing is, and as I mentioned earlier also, the importance of ikhlas, the importance of khulus, the importance of sincerity, that we do something only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for no other reason. And that is why sincerity and ikhlas is such a critically important thing. It's very important for us to understand this, because without ikhlas, without sincerity, what comes in is shirk. What comes in is showing off and riya, which is hidden shirk. Rasulullah said, I am not afraid for you that you will commit open shirk, that you will worship idols, but I am afraid that you will commit hidden shirk. And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what is hidden shirk? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, hidden shirk is ar-riya. It is to do something to please the people. It is to do something to show to people rather than to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. So a person is trying to pretend to be pious. A person is trying to, when he's praying in public in the masjid, is, you know, making his salah look the outward shape of it, how he stands and so on and so forth, to show people that people should think that he is a very righteous and pious man, whereas in his heart, this is what is in his heart, he is not praying in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah said, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, woe on these people who do things to show off, woe on these people who pray in order to show off and who delay their salah, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ people, Allah is saying, the people who are praying are punishable. I mean, imagine, prayer is by itself a good thing, which we should do, but if you do it in this way, which is to show people, then obviously it is something which is so reprehensible, right? So it is very, very important for us to maintain our ikhlas. We have the, in terms of the hadith on ikhlas, the hadith we have of what is called the hadith of the salat, where Rasulullah said that on the day of judgment, there will be three kinds of people, or three people who will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all three will be put into Jahannam. And they asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, who are these people? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, The first of them will be an alim, he will be a scholar of Islam. So he will be asked, what did you do? And he will say, O Allah, I learnt your kitab, I learnt your kalam, your book for your sake, and I taught this book to the people to please you. And it will be said to him that you are a liar. You learned the Quran, you learned the Islamic sciences in order that you may be known as a great alim, as a great sheikh, and so that you may have fame among the people, so that you may draw the attention of people towards you, and so that you may benefit from this thing in a material way, right? All of these words are not in the hadith. I'm explaining this to you. So it would be said to him that you did all of this for these benefits, and all this was already given to you. There is nothing for you here, and this person will be dragged into the hellfire. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the second one would be somebody who was, Allah had given a lot of wealth to, and this person spent this wealth in the path of Allah. He spent his wealth in doing all kinds of good things. Whatever he did, maybe he built masajid, he built madaris, he built hospitals, he built, you know, he dug wells, he built shelters, Allah knows what. He fed people, he built schools, whatever he did. This person had a lot of wealth before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he spent it in doing good things. Now on the day of judgment, this man will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be asked, what did you do? And he will count out and he will say, Ya Allah, I did this and I did this and I did this for your sake. It will be said to him, you are a liar. You did all of this so that you would be known as a philanthropist, so that you would be known as somebody who is charitable and somebody who is so kind and generous. And this happened. This was done. Here, there is nothing for you, and this person will be taken and thrown into the hellfire. Right? So this is the second person. The third person, Rasulullah said, is somebody who will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, And he will be asked, what did you do? The man will say, O Allah, I fought in your path and I was martyred, I was killed in that process. So here is one of the highest deeds that one can do, which is to fight for the sake of justice, is to fight for the sake of Islam, is to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This man says, I did that and I also lost my life in that process. Right? So in the eyes of the world, he was shaheed fi sabilillah. It will be said to the man, you are a liar. You went into that battle, you fought that battle because you wanted to be known as a great warrior. You wanted to be known as a brave person. You wanted to be known as somebody who fought this good fight. And this happened. You were very famous. You became very famous as this great warrior who fought this fight and so on, and how brave you were and so on and so on. All this happened. You got all of this name and fame. Here there is nothing for you. And this person who apparently died in the world, in the eyes of those who saw him as a shaheed fi sabilillah, people would have seen him and people would have said, surely he is a Jannati. That man was in the hellfire. This happened in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If I am not mistaken, I think it was in the Battle of Uhud, Wallahu Alam. But I think it was the Battle of Uhud. Somebody came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, so and so is fighting, he is in the thick of the battle, and surely he is from the people of Jannah. He is from the people of paradise. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, he is from the people of the hellfire. He is from the people of the Naar. Now, among the Sahaba who heard this, one of them was very curious. So he said, I must see, why did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say this about somebody who is fighting on the side of the Muslims against the enemies of Muslims, and he is fighting so bravely? So he said, I followed him and I found that in the end, towards the end of the day, this man, he was, for whatever reason, maybe he was wounded, he was in pain or something, he committed suicide. He put his sword and he fell on his sword. Deliberately, he committed suicide. Now, we know that somebody who commits suicide is in the hellfire. Suicide is haram in Islam. It is prohibited. And anybody who commits suicide will be in the hellfire. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this. So, there was the evidence to say that even though this man was he was a mujahid, he was fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to speak, apparently the man ended up in the hellfire because of his action, because of his niyyah, or because of the reason why he was fasting, fighting, maybe because he wanted to be known as a great warrior. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself when you, the whole issue of this lesson is for us to focus on our heart and to focus on our ikhlas, to focus on our sincerity. And to ensure that whatever we do, whether it is small or big, we do it only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one place, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes charity which is done in secret, where the right hand does not know, where the left hand does not know what the right hand has given. Now obviously it is also permissible to do charity publicly in order for targhib, in order to encourage other people to do that. But let some of your charity or a lot of your charity be something which nobody knows about. Quietly, secretly, just do it. And once you've done it, you don't know. Then you realize that, you know, alhamdulillah, these are things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously knows. And this will be in your favor. I remember I was about 20, 22 years ago. I used to live in Somers, Connecticut. And we heard about this lady who was who died up north. I think it was in Maine or something. And they had to bring the janazah, because this was at that time, this was our the cemetery in Enfield, Connecticut, was the only Muslim cemetery in this area. So they brought this the hearse. They brought this lady's body for the funeral. I went there just because I thought, you know, it was late in the evening, so I said, oh, I don't know who's going to be here, maybe very few people, so at least let me go and participate. And when we go there, we find the whole cemetery is full of people, there are lots of cars, people, all people there. I said, who's this lady? The hearse driver, he said, you know, this whole hearse is filled with perfume, it's a beautiful smell. Did you put perfume on the body? We said, no. The people said, they're virgin spirit. This is the malaika who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends. So I said, who are these people? He said, all of these people are people that this lady used to teach As children, she used to teach Quran. And all of these people now, they, you know, they are in big positions, they are all over the place. But when they know, when they knew that their Quran teacher had died, they came for a funeral. This is the beauty of doing action in secret. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that and to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to enable us to do that which He finds pleasing.